Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's Christmas Day in America and actually everywhere else in the world. Those of us Christians who celebrate Christmas, but you know, they actually, and I read an article recently, and I mentioned this yesterday, and I have it in front of me, and I'm proud to say that I can tell you who the author was, or is, John Steele Gordon, who's the author of An Empire of Wealth, wrote an article he called A Brief History of Christmas. And it really kind of, even though I knew these things, the way he said it in the article really kind of helped me to sort things out a little bit better, and it made me think of some things to talk to you about a little bit today. He says that there really are, in our world today, there really are two Christmases going on. And not one is what he calls the Nativity, which is what Christians celebrate, the birth of Christ. I'm going to read some passages from Scripture in a few minutes, but as a Christian, I celebrate Christmas in recognition of the birth of Christ. There's the whole Nativity story. It's in Luke. It's in Mark. Two of the four Gospels. Isaiah prophesied about this, the Nativity, basically, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But that's that part of Christmas. That Christmas is about 2,000 years old, right? But the other Christmas, the one where we give gifts, the one where we decorate with evergreen and bells and all that sort of thing. The jingle bells part, the Santa Claus part, all that is a second Christmas. It's another Christmas, and actually, it's a lot older than the first one. It's thousands of years, possibly, older than the first one. And so when you separate it like that, as a Scrooge, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on, I admit to being just a little bit of a Scrooge. And as a Scrooge, it sort of helps me to understand and to deal with what's going on, and I think it's important, at least it is for me as a Christian, to partition those two. I've complained about how what Christmas has become. But the truth is, if I and anybody else who thinks like me, if we partition those two, it makes it a little bit easier. Because long before the birth of Christ, people were celebrating. They didn't call it Christmas in those days. In fact, the Romans had a name for it, and I'll find that name in just a minute. But the Romans were doing it, the Druids were doing it, the Celts were doing it, et cetera, they were celebrating, and it was part of the winter solstice, right? So long before there was a nativity, long before the birth of Christ, people were celebrating with gifts and getting together with family and eating too much and having fun and laughing and reflecting and celebrating life. They were celebrating life long before there was the birth of Christ. Then when the birth of Christ came along, when Christ was born and Christianity basically was formed, then over time, over a lot of years after that, they became one for many people like me. And I think, when I think about it like that, it kind of helps me to maybe ease up on all the other stuff. As long as I have both things in my life, both Christmases, to use John Steele Gordon's term, both Christmases in my life. One is the merriment, the family, the food, the presents, the decorating that I do. I don't do any decorating, right? The women in my life do the decorating. Thank God for them. They love doing all that, and they make things nicer. They make things prettier and more festive. And thank goodness for women around Christmas time. That's, as a guy, that's what I say. So thank you, ladies, for doing all that. And I know you forgive me if I'm a little bit of a Scrooge sometimes. But there's that side of Christmas for me as a Christian. And then the other side is the side that Isaiah talked about. And this is in chapter 9. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That's from Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was prophesying about the birth of Christ. And so basically, and Isaiah is not... Scholars, I think, probably disagree when Isaiah was written. It's one of the older books of the Old Testament. But certainly, at least 2,500 years ago, and maybe older. So hundreds of years before there was the birth of Christ, there was someone prophesying about the birth of Christ. And all during that time, in the days of Isaiah, people were celebrating a form of what we call Christmas today. The family side, the gift-giving side, the decorating with boughs and holly side of Christmas, the evergreen side, all that was going on even in the days of Isaiah. And as I said earlier, somewhere down the road, over time, the two came together. And a lot of what we do today at Christmas, a lot of the combination of it and all the different icons that we have for Christmas, the gift-giving side, a lot of that has happened in the last 100 years. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame. I got one more little piece of scripture, but it's a very important piece of scripture if you celebrate Christmas as I do. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for joining me on this Christmas day. I love this passage in Isaiah. It's in the Old Testament, and I read it a minute ago. It's a very short passage. I'm going to read it again because it sets up the next passage I'm going to read for you. This is from Isaiah chapter 9. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." And then we fast forward hundreds of years later to Luke. If you're a Christian, the Gospel of Luke has got to be a wonderful document for you. It is for me. Chapter 2 in the book of Luke in the New Testament. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This is the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went out to his own town to register the nativity. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in this town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, in which they had just been told. Now that's from Luke. So we started out with Isaiah, we went to Luke, and this is the nativity Christmas. This is the Christmas that Christians celebrate. Christians also celebrate the original Christmas because we give gifts. There's nothing in Luke, there's nothing in Isaiah about giving gifts to you and me, each other, about decorating with boughs of holly, about all the extravagance that we go through. In fact, the extravagance that we have today in the other Christmas is the opposite of what was experienced at the Nativity Christmas. So, okay, and I realize that Christmas obviously has Christ in it, but it's just it's easier to use that term. And now, why am I dwelling on this? Well, I think it's because I have been complaining about what we've allowed Christmas to become. I have said that. I've actually said that out loud. Well, you know, it bothers me to see what Christmas has become. The truth is that it would be a lot easier for me, and I'm going to do this in the future. It's a lot easier for me if I partition these two Christmases. One is the nativity Christmas, the religious part, the theological part, the part that I celebrate as a Christian, the birth of Christ, and what that means to me and what I think it means to mankind. And the other side is the side that's much older than that. And that's where I celebrate with my family, and I give people gifts, I receive gifts, and that sort of thing. And so if I do that, by doing that, I should say, it allows me to, when I go about these really two different Christmases in my life, the commercial, what we would now call the commercial side, and the other side is the religious side. When I go about my life as a Christian in both of those Christmas worlds, so to speak, it kind of helps me to keep them separated, and to help me not be upset when I'm on the commercial side about what has been lost from the nativity side. And so I hope that helps you. It helped me to think about it like that. I got some more things to talk about. I'm going to read some poems. We'll come back after these messages. I think you're going to like them. I always do, and I hope you do too. 29 after. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Oh, I bet amazing way.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm Jim Blassingame, live and in person on Christmas Day, our 11th consecutive Christmas show, most of the time on Christmas Day, sometimes on a Friday before Christmas when it was on the weekend, but always done a live Christmas show, and this is our 11th one. You know, folks, some people say I'm a Scrooge. They might be right. But here are three exhibits in my defense. The early part of my career was spent in retail. This is number one. The early part of my career was spent in retail. And those of you who are in retail know that it's tough on the holiday spirit. It can be awfully tough on the holiday spirit. There's a syndrome for everything else. Why not a syndrome for retail survivors? I'm a retail survivor, are you? Let's call it PTHSS. How about this? Post-traumatic holiday shock syndrome. Those of you who've just come through another silly season of frantic shopping, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Post-traumatic holiday shock syndrome. That's number one. Number two, these are reasons why I'm probably a Scrooge. And what I'm using to defend myself. Number two, since I don't wait until the holidays to give someone a gift, I just don't get all worked up about holiday giving. Not that the ladies mind getting all that stuff all year long. Let's not lose our head. It's just that they want me to be giddy about giving at Christmas time. Giddy? Bah, humbug. Number three, as an avowed and devout contrarian, it would be antithetical for me to feel obligated to do what everyone else is doing. And if there is one thing that has become part and parcel of the other holiday season, the Christmas season I talked about in the previous segment, if there's one thing that's become part and parcel for that season, the non-nativity Christmas, it's obligation. For example, if someone gives my significant other and me a last-minute gift before Christmas, other feels obligated to reciprocate. I don't. I'll do something nice for them in March. Or, after the Christmas cards have been sent, if an incoming card is received from someone not on your list, do you rush out to get a card out to them right away? Not me. Maybe next year. In the world according to Blassingame, giving should be voluntary, not obligatory. To a Scrooge, not reciprocating is actually endearing. It's not that I don't like the holidays. As a Christian, this is an important time in my faith life. As a capitalist, the importance of holiday spending on our economy is not lost on me. I just don't care for what we self-absorbed humans hath wrought on the holiday season. And if that makes me a Scrooge, guilty as charged. But on behalf of my misunderstood brethren, and this is not politically incorrect because apparently there are no female Scrooges, let me clear up a few things. Scrooges are lovable, huggable, and yes, even cute. That's number one. Number two, it's a myth that all Scrooges are skinflints. Some are actually quite generous, but their generosity isn't obsessive and doesn't come with giggles. Three, Scrooges can be quite caring and compassionate without saying, "Bless their hearts," over and over again. As proof and into influence and acquittal, I offer two challenges into evidence, one for me and one for us. I challenge myself to be more receptive to and tolerant of the silly parts of the holiday season and those who perpetuate the silliness. But please be patient. The mill of a Scrooge grinds slowly. I challenge us to be more generous, loving, thankful and spiritual all year long, not just during the holidays. Imagine what would happen if we all practice peace on earth, goodwill toward everyone, every day. It might sound something like this. Let's help those people right now in the middle of July. So, as I wrap up this segment, folks, peace to you and yours. Shalom. Salam. Que la paz esté con ustedes. That's my best Spanish, folks, as good as I can do. Merry Christmas. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Some John O'Donohue poems and thoughts right after these messages. Stay with me.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. But we're not really doing any small business today. This is about Christmas and just some thoughts and that I have. Merry Christmas, by the way, to you and to yours. I hope you're having a great day and celebrating with family and friends and this is a day that you have permission to eat too much and just generally enjoy everybody. And when I think about that, there's a book that I found 11 years ago by someone who has become my friend, John O'Donohue. The book is called Anamkara. And I'm going to read some passages from this book, as I've done every year. This is the 11th year in a row I've read some passages from this book, so that'll give you an idea about how much I think it means. And John is an Irishman. He lives in Ireland, and often he joins me on Christmas Day. We weren't able to work it out today. But what I want to explain to you what an Anamkara is by through John's words. I'm going to let John do that, I should say, through my voice. That's a better way of saying it. This is what John says about Anamkara. In the Celtic tradition, there's a beautiful understanding of love and friendship. One of the fascinating ideas here is the idea of love, of soul love. The old Gaelic term for this is Anamkara. Anam is the Gaelic word for soul, and Kara is the word for friend. So Anamkara is a Celtic word for soul friend. In the early Celtic church, a person who acted as a teacher, companion, or spiritual guide was called an Anamkara. It originally referred to someone to whom you confessed, revealing the hidden intimacies of your life. With the Anamkara, you could share your innermost self, your mind, and your heart. This friendship was an act of recognition and belonging. When you had an Anamkara, your friendship cut across all convention, morality, and category. You were joined in an ancient and eternal way with the friend of your soul, your Anamkara. Do you have an Anamkara? I hope you do. I do. I've acquired one in the last few years, and it's a pretty good thing to have. Here's a blessing from Anamkara that John wrote that I love to talk about. I've read this every year. This is the 11th year I've read this blessing. And I send it out to you, my friends. A friendship blessing by John O'Donohue. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend to yourself. May you be able to journey to that place in your soul where there is great love, warmth, feeling, and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant, or cold in you. May you be brought into the real passion, kinship, and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them, and may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessings, challenges, and truth and light that you need for your journey. May you never be isolated. May you always be in the gentle nest of belonging with your Anamkara. That's a wonderful passage from John's book, from Anamkara, the book Anamkara, and it's one that I certainly encourage you to find. I suspect it's still in print. You can find it. You should be able to find it in a lot of different places. And if you don't, you can probably find it on Amazon. Probably maybe some used copies. But it's a wonderful passage. I remember when I was a child, how Christmas was wonderful, a wonderful time. It was about the excitement, wasn't it? And it still is. And to even today, Christmas is, we think of Christmas, at least the other Christmas, not the Nativity Christmas, the historical Christmas. Let's call it that, the historical Christmas that goes back, as I talked about in the earlier in the hour. That part of it, the gift giving, the excitement and all that, is still a lot of times for the children, isn't it? And wouldn't it be great if we as adults could look at Christmas with that kind of wonderment, could think about it like that, with that kind of anticipation, that kind of excitement? What would it take for us to be able to do that? To be so excited about something that we couldn't sleep, to be and for it to be that fresh and pure, what does that take? Well, you know, I think that's how Christians accomplish that, through the way we feel about the other Christmas, the Nativity Christmas, the birth of Christ. We have that kind of excitement. We have that kind of joy through that. And so it's Christmas is really in a lot of ways a complex holiday, isn't it? And hopefully that complexity brings you happiness. But there are some people in the world today who are sacrificing for you and me on this Christmas day. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about them. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Merry Christmas. I'll be right back. "'Twas the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give and to see just who in this home did live. I looked all about, a strange sight I did see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings by mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands, with medals and badges, awards of all kinds. A sober thought just came through my mind, for this house was different. It was dark and dreary. I found the home of a soldier once I could see clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. The face was so gentle, the room in such disorder. Not how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? I realized the families that I saw this night owed their lives to these soldiers who were willing to fight. Soon round the world children would play, and grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. They all enjoyed freedom each month of the year because of the soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in a land far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees. I started to cry. The soldier awakened, and I heard a rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. I couldn't control it. I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, and we both shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure and whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All is secure." One look at my watch and I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend, and to all a good night. I don't know who wrote that poem. I've been trying to find for years. It was sent to me a long, long time ago. In fact, I received it. I've read that poem every year for 11 years. I received that poem in November of 97. And if someone can find the author, I'd be glad to say his or her name. But I know who this person is talking about, and you do too. The last Christmas, my own son, Craig, is a Marine, a Force Recon Marine, spent last Christmas in his second tour in Iraq. And he was there this time last year. So this had extra special meaning for me a year ago. Ladies and gentlemen, as we sit here with all of our friends and family, in the bosom of our family and our churches and whatever, wherever else we go to be with community, we have men and women who are standing a post around the world, not just in Iraq, not just in Afghanistan, although that's where they're in the most harm's way. But there are men and women standing a post away from their families on behalf of you and me. That's what they're there for. They're there because they love something greater than themselves. They love their country and what it stands for. That's agape love, and it may be the greatest of all loves, because agape love is when you love someone you don't even know. And that's the kind of men and women we have in our military, and I thank God for them every day, and I know you join me in sending out to them a very, very Merry Christmas and thanking them for their service. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I hope you've enjoyed this hour of our live Christmas show. I got another one coming up after this one, and I'm looking forward to that as well. We got some different things to do in the next hour. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.